Dad Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local businesses, cheap eats, and yummy treats. And also events that are happening or not happening around town. And places to go and get some fresh air. Go for a walk. And places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians, hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the Tuesday edition of the Wham Bam East Van Show on CJSF 90.1 FM, where we're broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on unceded Coast Salish territory in beautiful Burnaby, BC, which includes the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, the Ketse, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Today's amazing guest is Thomas Beckman. What? I know, this is amazing. Yes, he's here in the studios, but we're going to set up for a few minutes, so we're going to play one of the songs from Arbutus Duo, and then we'll be back with Thomas.
Thank you. keyboard.
Thank you. It's a light up. It's a brand new keyboard, yes. And we're on air with Thomas Beckman. And that was Fields of Gold that we played with his band, Sons of Granville. And it's, is it three of you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, introduce yourself to the world.
Well, my name is Thomas Beckman, and I live in Vancouver, and I play the viola. And I'm a happy Canadian / South African living a life of music.
Amazing. And this is your second time on the Wham Bam East Fan Show, but your first time in the studio.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you very much for having me, Linda.
No, thank you for coming on a rainy Vancouver day.
A perfect Vancouver day.
Right? Okay, so I noticed that you got married. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And you went to Egypt.
Yes.
Tell me about Egypt. My goodness. Like, was that that was your first time, obviously?
Yes, my first time.
Yeah. What, how did you feel?
Well, it's a fascinating, chaotic, rich culture, beautiful place. I've never been anywhere in the world like it. And Radwa, my wife, we got married in Cairo. At the Citadel Saladin, and I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, but it's an amazingly old, beautiful piece of architecture. It's a fort / mosque, and we got married sort of within the courtyard within the actual citadel, and it's a stunning location. And I was terrified because I was there a couple of days before to check it out. Mm. We got married on the 7th, and we went there on the 5th. And it was scorching hot, because it's super hot in Cairo. And so I was really, really worried the night before that I was going to show up in a suit and the sun would just be beaming down on us and I'd be sweating up a storm. So I was very lucky. It was overcast. It was a few degrees cooler. And so I got through the whole ceremony in a suit and didn't have heat stroke or pass out or produce a river of sweat. So
wow.
Grateful for that. But it was, yeah, it's just, there's nothing. Cairo is just such a different world from Vancouver in almost every single way you can imagine.
I bet. And yeah. Egyptian wedding, how different is that from a normal wedding?
Well, we use a masoon, is kind of like their priest.
Mm-hmm.
So he put us through a religious ceremony, and both fathers had to be present at the altar. And so he gave us a few lessons from the Quran, and then he took us through this sort of our vows. And at one point, he draped a serviette over mine and my father-in-law's hand, and made us sort of say things to each other to the effect of, "I promise to protect and to love and be faithful to my wife." And he accepted my proposal, but he was gripping my hand very tightly beneath the serviette. So he was like, "Yeah, don't worry, I got you on this. I got you."
Amazing.
Yeah, and it was great to meet my wife's friends and family. It's a vast group of wonderful people, filled with laughter, and even though there's a bit of a language barrier, everybody was extremely warm and friendly. My immediate family came, including my sister. I had a friend from Berlin. Another friend came from Vancouver as well. So we were all very, very much welcomed, and everybody was extremely gracious and hospitable. So it was a great time.
Yes, yeah. And did you get a chance to perform some of your viola in Egypt?
So I actually took the viola with me, but because I needed to practice, because literally the next day I got back, I had a gig. But I didn't want to play in the wedding because, A, I was worried about the heat, and B, I didn't want to be sort of working at my own wedding, because I've performed at so many weddings. But what I did do was take one of the viola licks, which we'll discuss from the series, and I used that for the bridal entrance. So I used
beautiful.
Hymn of the Sea, which some people might say, well, that's corny, but it's such an elegant, romantic piece of music, James Horner's Hymn of the Sea for Titanic.
Oh, beautiful.
And I just thought it's the perfect piece for a beautiful woman making her entrance, and so I used that.
Excellent. Okay, yeah. And we're going to talk about your 52 musical themes, and it was an Indiegogo campaign, # Viola Licks. Mm-hmm. Tell everyone about that.
We're sort of halfway through production. We've done about 39 recordings I've got about 13 left to do. We've done probably about 12 or 13 videos. I've got a couple of video production dates lined up, including on the 1st of November. We're actually very lucky. The H.R. Macmillan Space Center has invited us into the Star Theater. Michael Unger is the programs and coordinator there. So we're going to be in the Star Theater with this amazing backdrop of stars and galaxies behind us as I play some of the science fiction themes, like Jerry Goldsmith's Alien, Star Wars, Hans Zimmer's Interstellar. So all of this stuff is just great for having stars behind you.
Yes.
So that's very exciting.
Yes. I think we should listen to this Alien. It's a little clip. Is that correct?
Yeah, Alien. It's a very dark thing. It's very appropriate for Halloween. And what I've tried to do with the viola licks is, because the idea is to keep it very short, so often you go online and when you watch music covers, they're very long. And so what I've tried to do here is just present a very sort of crystallized form of each theme. Some themes have famous parts to them, so I've sort of selectively bound together only the parts, the most salient parts of the theme. So in this Alien theme, there's this very spooky sort of series of intervals, and then there's this beautiful, so almost like French impressionistic, something almost sort of similar to Ravel or Debussy, and then it goes into I don't know, it's like a part of the theme which I hear all the time. I've heard it, the idea reiterated in the X-Files theme with Mark Snow. I've heard him, he was inspired by it, and for any StarCraft fans out there, it's actually also featured at times in the soundtrack for The Terran.
Really?
If you ever play StarCraft, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's got a bit of everything, but it's very spooky.
All right, let's listen to it right here on CJSF. All right, and we are back. That was Alien. Amazing. Okay, so what was your scariest movie?
Well, we were just discussing now, I think Alien is a movie that terrified me when I was younger. I can't remember exactly how old I was when I first watched it. I must have been 12 or 13 or something. And that scene, of course, where, what's his name, John Hurt, I think was the actor, I'm probably getting his name wrong, where the
Alien
the,
pops out.
Oh, my goodness. Just, and I found out later on that apparently when they filmed that whole scene, none of the cast had any clue how it was exactly going to go down. So when his chest erupts, that is a genuine reaction from Sigourney Weaver and the rest of them.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just like such a horrendous scene. I don't think there was anything as gory as that at the time of its release.
And you watched it in the theaters?
No, I didn't. No, I
yeah. Just in like a DVD or
This was back in the days of VHS.
VHS, okay.
So I rented VHS.
Yes, at Blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, I was living in Haupt Bay in Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a VHS store close to where we live called Titles.
Oh, you remember the name?
I remember the name. I used to love that. On Friday afternoon after school, we'd go over, we'd rent like two or three VHS movies, and it was like a big thing.
Yes.
And you'd watch all the way from beginning to end, you know?
You betcha.
Yeah.
All right, and tell me about the next song that we're going to play here. You're going to tell me about Twiggy. What was about Twiggy?
Oh, it's just silly. So for this series, I'm basically going to Ladysmith, a beautiful little town on the island, and my producer, Sam Ryan, he's got a home studio there. And so what I often do is I ferry over the night before, get a good rest, practice, and then I wake up, and then the next day we just record the whole way through. And he's got this lovable dog, and Sam's very gracious. He'll come and actually pick me up from Duncan Point, the ferry terminal, and it's about a 20-minute drive back to his house from there. And so his dog always sits in my lap and licks my face, and just a very cute, adorable dog that just makes the whole process, that much more enjoyable. So,
gotta have those little pets to help out. Okay, so we're going to play some Addams Family just for the Halloween theme. Super cute, right? So who decides to pick the songs? Like, how do you pick the songs? Do you just kind of pick your favorite, or?
Well, the idea was to try and be fairly eclectic, try and choose a wide range of pieces that and also tunes that are accessible. I think in the series, I'd like there to be something for everyone. So cute little themes like the Addams Family, to deep, serious themes by Jerry Goldsmith, like the alien theme. There's quite a bit of John Williams in the theme too. He was a huge influence on myself as a child. I used to love his music, still love his music. So that's the idea. So just to try to sort of have a wide net, a wide range of stuff, so there's something for everyone. And film music is, it's a very diverse, fun genre.
Yes, and I love how some of them are, like, they're epic, they're, like, so, love, the movie, and, there's television themes that are just so fun. Mm-hmm. We just did Aliens and Alien, and I wanted to know, do you believe in aliens?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I mean, it's such a massive universe that we live in. It's hard to imagine that we're, the only life in the universe. And if you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, did I get that right?
Yes, yeah.
He talks about the fact that there's, the building blocks of life are spread throughout the cosmos, that there's plenty for the universe to play with, and there's plenty of time for the slow process of evolution to do its thing. I think the interesting thing is that now that they're talking about time and how time is relative. So, like, if you spend 1 year living in Jupiter, it's the equivalent of something like 11 Earth years. So, we talk about the great distances between Earth and the rest of whatever planets we might have discovered so far, and the enormous challenges that presents to life finding itself. But then you also throw on the challenge of time.
Yes.
So I think those are some of the challenges that are But I mean, I am no astrophysicist or scientist at all. But it's fun to listen to these guys and to hear the speculations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that James telescope, that was kind of pretty cool too, to see all the images in space. Yeah.
One of the movies I really love is called Contact, which was based on a book written by Carl Sagan, which talks about the SETI program, mm-hmm. Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And Jodie Foster?
Foster, was in that one. Yeah.
I just love that movie because it just really fires your imagination as to the possibilities.
Exactly. Oh, it's going to be amazing. And then you also did The Mandalorian. I just wanted to know, what are your favorite films? What are some of your favorite, like, of course, Star Wars is one of mine. But how about yourself?
Well, it's funny you bring up The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. I really want to watch this show, but I haven't yet watched it.
Neither have I, actually. Yeah, because you have to have that. I don't know if it's Disney Channel or whatever. Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah. So, but I'm good with seeing what all the reruns of what is out there, and I'll save The Mandalorian for another time.
Yeah,
What is some of your favorite
some
movies?
Some of my favorite
movies. Any sci-fi?
Well, I grew up with the George Lucas and Spielberg films. There was another movie which I just did a viewalik for called The Hunt for Red October, which was a film I used to watch over and over again.
That's the submarine one, right?
Yeah, the submarine. Yeah. Sean Connery, Alec Baldwin. Just a really intelligent plot, beautifully acted, well-written, and music by Basil Palladoris, who also wrote music for Conan the Barbarian. And RoboCop.
Yeah.
And I really feel, and also Starship Troopers, but I really feel that the Hunt for Red October has such a beautiful score. That hymn to Red October that uses a full male Russian choir is just some of the most powerful film music I've ever heard. And the whole opening sequence, like in film music, when you score a scene, you call it a cue.
Okay.
And so the cue for the entrance is just, it's just perfect. And when I watched it as a kid, I think it released in 1990, and my parents took me to see it on the big screen. My sister fell asleep. I had no idea what was going on. It was way beyond me, but I just knew it was cool as hell. And the music just gripped me from the first.
Amazing.
What else? I also really loved Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey. I used to build Lego ships watching that movie. And it's a really long movie. It's like 3.5 hours or something. So if you've got a lot of Lego, you can use that 3 hours to build a big ship.
And do you still work with Lego to this day?
No, but I just bought my nephew, he's my wife's sister's son.
Yes.
Would that be my nephew? I guess. I just bought him an X-Wing Lego ship, and I was kind of jealous because he's... Of course, he's in Cairo and I'm here, so I wasn't able to build it with him. But he built it in a couple of days, and it looked like a ton of fun. So when I go back, and I'm going to be going back every other year, I'll definitely bring a big Lego project with me, and we'll build it together.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to play The Mandalorian right here on CJSF.
Thank you.
All right, and we are back with more Thomas Beckman, and he is going to talk more about the Indiegogo campaign.